This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Michael Martin, CEO of RapidSOS. Michael, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Great to be here, Donnie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, it's great to hear your voice. And, I was very intrigued by a list of bold predictions that you put out, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about it. But I guess before we get into the future stuff, give us an update as to what's going on at RapidSOS and how was 2021 for you?
Yeah, it's wild, Donnie. We are approaching our 10-year anniversary of partnering with 911 to build technology to transform emergency communication. And every year, I'm just continually blown away by the extraordinary work of America's 911 communicators and just all the impact they're having. And unfortunately, it seems like the job's just getting harder and harder, right? I mean, obviously, 2021, we faced an ongoing pandemic. We saw continual major natural disasters, whether that was wildfires or hurricanes. We saw continued active shooter events and other sorts of challenges. All this in a world where, more than ever, local governments facing staffing challenges, sometimes budget complications, new technologies. So, for RapidSOS, we partnered with 911 to support 165 million emergencies last year. We're now used by about 5,200 911 agencies, which cover about 95% of the U.S. population. We now cover about 100% of the population in Mexico, and approaching a quarter of Canada as well. So it's been an important year, I think, for continuing that original partnership that we started from back in 2012 and really expanding that with new types of data, new information pulling into 911 first responders. It is about 400 million devices today, Donnie, that pass critical data in an emergency directly into the hands of 911 through our platform.
Wow. Well, that's incredible. I knew the uptake was going to be big and quick, but I didn't know it was going to be that fast. So that congratulations on that. So tell me, as you look ahead, what are some of the things you think are going to happen here in the short term?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably, we see maybe five major trends that we see occurring in 2012. And I think the first one is part of a gradual trend we've been seeing, but we think it's going to be increasing in pace in a dramatic way. And that really is this transition from 911 calls to device and sensor-initiated emergency requests for service. So the version of this that many of us might be familiar with is some sort of alarm incident or automatic crash notification from a connected vehicle, right? So these are sensors that are detecting an emergency, and today they're obviously going through a third-party monitoring station typically and then calling into 911. So we live in a world today, Donnie, where we estimate about 20 billion connected devices, and I think what we're seeing is that the capability set, the proliferation, the sensing ability of these devices are often going to be able to actually detect emergencies before humans can. And they will understand it faster than we can. So, for example, in a significant building fire, you could imagine that sensors throughout that building are able to not only detect the fire immediately, but also understand the severity, understand where people are trapped or located in the building, lock and unlock doors. So this kind of picture of how devices and data are going to transform response. For RapidSOS, as I mentioned, we did about 165 million emergencies last year through our platform. We estimate 5 to 7% of those were device-initiated, Donnie, and we believe that this year we'll see close to 20% of those emergencies will be device-initiated primary requests for service.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, and I know you all just announced a big announcement with Honeywell. We did a story on that. You feel like that fits into what you're talking about here, this trend?
Yeah, I mean, and it feels just, I mean, it just, I feel like the end of the year just reminded us of how critically important this is. Obviously, we had three significant fire events on the East Coast, New York City, obviously in the Bronx fire, Philadelphia with a significant loss of life there, and then the tragedy in the Baltimore area where three firefighters lost their lives, right? And I think all three of these, for me, remind me of just how critically important it is that we transmit every ounce of data. You use all this technology to try to help these rural first responders that are literally running into these burning buildings to save lives. So in the case of Honeywell, they power 10 million buildings globally, Donnie, and those buildings have sensors throughout them, right? So for the first time, we can start to really understand, like, where is the fire? Where are people trapped? We even get indoor blueprints of the building. So this convergence of information directly into the hands of 911 and first responders is I think, going to be just profoundly powerful over the next few years.
Yeah, so no question. And I guess the one thing when people hear automated alerts, the fear from public safety, frankly, is, hey, what about false alarms? But then I've also heard other people say, hey, I'd rather go to 10 false alarms if it means I can save somebody once. I don't know. What kind of feedback are you getting?
You know, this actually brings me to my probably second prediction here, Donnie, which is that data and artificial intelligence is going to begin to transform the way public safety and 911 responds to major events. Now, I think when we founded Rapid SOS, we actually believed at the time, back in 2012, that the pace of change there might allow a building to immediately contact first responders in an emergency. And I think what we've come to appreciate by working with the connected building industry, the alarm and security industry, is that there's still an important role for a human verification step in that process. And so we did actually roll out just earlier this year, Rapid SOS monitoring, which puts a highly trained human operator in the middle to kind of interpret those signals and try to verify that incident before we pass it on to 911. Where we think we're going to actually see the impact of this AI even sooner, though, Donnie, is on mass casualty events and natural disasters. So Rapid SOS worked with first responders on a number of mass incidents last year, from school shootings to the events in Boulder to some of the wildfires. And in most of those incidents, I mean, you see just in the data, right, these really powerful spikes in 911 traffic and requests for service almost immediately, right? And if you start to understand the data more, you understand how those events unfold. So we do think there's going to be a powerful opportunity for AI to work with the human intelligence and the highly trained 911 telecommunicators to interpret all this information coming in and make it useful and actionable in those events. And I think that over time, we'll start to see that same technology translate into alarms in other sectors. But it is going to take a bit longer as I think that penetrates. So that probably would be my, you know, my second prediction on 2022.
Okay. So what are some of the other things you're seeing out there?
Yeah, maybe just three other ones. The next one is basic, but we do continue to see rising emergency traffic generally. So we expect we'll be at over 180 million emergencies that we support in 2022. This was up from 165 million. Obviously, for Rapid SOS, we're supporting most of the kind of newer device or smartphone-initiated incidents. We wouldn't today generally have information on like a traditional, a more legacy landline call. So I think as you're continuing to see those requests for emergency services transition to new connected devices, that will, you know, you'll continue to see kind of that makeup or composition of 911 calls transition from landline calls to mobile and into device-initiated. So that would be number three. And then I think number four, just piggybacking on that, Donnie, is generally the number of devices on our platform. We ended last year with about 400 million. We'll surpass 500 million this year, I'm quite confident. And I think we will actually be rounding our corner onto 1 billion devices over the next 2 years or so into the platform. So this is connected vehicles, digital health devices, connected buildings like we talked about with Honeywell. And just generally this proliferation of connected devices, how do we bring all that together to work in harmony with 911 and first responders in the moments when it matters most?
Okay.
And then the fifth one is, I think, on the multimedia side. And this, I think, is one that I'll pause slightly on, Donnie, because it's something that we've been working on for the last 5 years. In close partnership with our roughly 5,000 first responders that we work with on beta testing. And I think what we've learned and come to appreciate is video is a really challenging topic with 911 and first responders. We have to do it right. And I always think back to, Donnie, one of my very first 911 calls that I ever listened in on when I was a grad student in Boston was outside in rural Massachusetts, was a mom who called after her son had committed suicide. And it was, I mean, I lasted probably 10 seconds on that call, Donnie, and I actually took off my headset and had to walk outside. You know, this mom was hysterical, just, you know, screaming for an ambulance. Her son had hung himself in the closet. And, you know, I had the luxury to leave, but that 911 telecommunicator stayed on the phone with that mother, you know, and stayed with her, figured out the address, and stayed with her until the ambulance arrived 9 minutes later. So, like, a live video feed of a lifeless child in a closet was not going to be helpful, right? On the flip side, like, we think about situations where in a medical emergency, right, where we could provide live video feed, you know, in CPR instruction as an example, right? So thinking through how to do video well is something we've been working on a lot over the last 5 years. It is quite interesting, though. I'll just ask you quickly, Donnie, and then, and then we can wrap here. But you know, if I sent you one image from my phone, call it a 5 megapixel image, like a typical kind of image from a smartphone, what is that image contains how much data? Like, what would be the equivalent if you and I were having a conversation of talk time? Well, is it an hour?
Yeah, well, you know, the old saying is, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words and a video's probably worth 1,000,000. You know, I think the big questions, again, to your point, you know, how do you do it in a way that doesn't overwhelm the telecommunicator and that sort of thing? But, you know, frankly, that's the job of the 911 center, the way I see it, and your job just to make sure that resources available to them if they want it. And
so we do think so the first thing is actually really interesting. The saying is a picture's worth 1,000 words, but there's actually a scientific research on this now. So in the journal Science, a study just came out that realized that the rate that human can speak and transmit data is about 39 bits per second. So let's translate that with, like, the internet connection that you and I are talking on right now, which is probably about 100 megabytes per second, right? So that's 100 million bytes of data every single second, right? Versus when we're having this conversation, it's 39 bits per second. So one image from your smartphone ends up containing as much data as if we were talking continuously for 11 days straight, Donnie. So it is amazing the ability of an image and video to transform our situational awareness. However, as you pointed out, like, we've got to be super thoughtful on that. So we've been out beta testing a bunch of technologies there, working with 911, thinking about how can we use AI, how can we abstract the raw images. There's a bunch of different things that we're thinking a lot about. And I think this is the year where you're going to start to see some of that technology rolled out. We estimate that there will be a photo or video clip available in about 5% of the emergencies that we support this coming year in 2022.
Well, and I think the image is even more important when you're looking for a missing person or a missing kid, especially in very crowded areas. I remember talking to someone from the Green Bay area back in the day, and, you know, the description came across, you know, hey, here's a young kid, he's maybe 4'10", and he's wearing a Brett Favre jersey and jeans. Well, that pretty much described every kid that was at the stadium that day. So, you know, that's not especially helpful, but the image certainly might, and would it allow the officers maybe to identify the right person as opposed to just a person. You know, the one thing I've been wanting to ask you about for a long time is just, you know, during an emergency, I want the first responders, frankly, to have all kinds of information about me, yeah, especially if it's a medical situation. But have you run into any issues with privacy you know, either from a legal standpoint or from an ethical standpoint that is kind of hampering, you know, hey, how much can I actually give to the first responders?
Yeah, I you know, like you, I want to share everything in an emergency, but I know not everyone feels that way, right? And so there's actually pretty strong legal precedent on this question, actually, which is in an emergency, when you're actively reaching out to call 911, you are asking to be located. So it is automatic that location will be shared, and there's strong legal precedent that there's not a when you're actively dialing 911, there's not a right to privacy on your location. Now, with that said, everything else is where I think you're seeing that right and controls at the end user level. So all the other data sources that we provide, the end user is actually opting into sharing. So I'll just take as an example, we've worked with Apple to share the medical ID off the device in an emergency. And Apple has set that up, so you actually have to opt in to share that information as an example. We also work with the Red Cross and the American Heart Association to allow any user to fill out a free health profile at emergencyprofile.org and have that available. Again, that's kind of a user opting into sharing that information. So that's true across all those different types of rich content and data that I mentioned.
Yeah, well, and I guess one of the things I talked to a guy that works in a school district, and they're allowed to share with the first responders once they call 911. They're allowed to open up all the cameras and stuff. But honestly, by the time you've called 911, there's only, you're seeing what's going on, and that can help in terms of the response a little bit. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't tell you what happened 20 minutes before that caused everyone to to dial 911, and whether or not that part's going to be available is going to be interesting to me from a sensor standpoint as well. But certainly I think it would be great from a health standpoint if I'm having a heart attack or something, for them to be able to at least access, hey, what was this person's condition, 20 minutes before, what were the changes in the metabolism that caused, this outcome. But
yeah, and I think what we're seeing is different sorts of services that offer different sorts of solutions here, right? So we do power some companies in the remote patient monitoring space where users sign up for a service to actually monitor their health. These are often people with severe chronic conditions, Donnie.
Correct.
And so in those circumstances, you're exactly right. Like, we actually get historical information, which we can, extract the key pieces of data that's most relevant for EMS in that around a particular incident. So that's, take that as one example versus, say, we power a number of emergency buttons where we don't get any data prior to the incident, right? It's only after the user actively hits that button. So I think what's really powerful is this work over the last 10 years in collaboration with 911 now creates opportunities so that we can be thoughtful with a privacy standpoint and a data standpoint in mind to think through, like, what are the use cases here? How do we allow users to control, that response process and share the information that they'd like to in an emergency? So totally agree.
Very cool. Well, congratulations, Michael, on all the progress you guys have made, and can't wait to see, what this use of IoT and artificial intelligence, the impacts those are going to have on public safety's response efforts in the future.
Awesome. Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you.